Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. I am delighted to have Regini Hildreth with us today, all the way from London, the UK. Now, Regini's career was in education as primary school teacher, assistant head, governor, and curriculum specialist, until she decided, or maybe life decided, that she needed a change, and she changed course. Welcome, Regini. Can you start with a brief summary of who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Yes, so thank you for having me, Julie. This is a real privilege. I'm really excited. This is the first podcast interview or first podcast that I've been on. So this is a good first step into this area.
Well, I'm honoured.
So who am I? So yeah, I'm Regini, obviously. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter, a sister. I would define myself as a teacher, even though I don't actually teach children anymore. Education and working in schools has been my life. I love working with younger children. I love working with children. And that was all brilliant. I had a good career, very good career in very challenging circumstances in terms of the area and the type of place where I live. It was one time in Europe, it was one of the wards in Europe with the highest deprivation factors.
Right.
And so that was challenging, but I loved working with those children. And I have so many stories I could tell you.
I can imagine. That'll be a book, maybe.
Yeah. Amazing stories, sad stories. Yeah. Lots of different stories around the children and families that I worked with. And even though I love teaching and love working with children, as my 40s and, you know, coming into my 50s, I wanted to do more. I wanted to do something different. And I changed and I retrained as a life coach and started a coaching business, particularly coaching teachers. So the transition for me from teacher to business has been eye-opening. There are other factors that cause the shift. And yeah, so that's basically who I am.
Very brave. I mean, because I mean, you've got straight into the heart of the matter, because our topic today is changing course, which is something which isn't easy to do from many perspectives, and I suppose hard at all ages. You know, you're leaving something that you know, and you're in education. So, I mean, quite a stable career. I mean, there always will be children to educate, etc. So you've chosen to leave a stable world to do something else. So, I mean, what would you say was the motivator? Why did you change? We will get into the how did you manage to take this step, but if we touch a little bit on why. So you have mentioned you wanted more, you wanted to contribute.
So why? Even though I taught for many years, teaching is a pressured environment for many reasons. You know, just the fact that in primary school you are, you know, 1 to 30, just teacher with 30 children, that's 30 relationships you're managing, plus parents, plus your colleagues. So in a day, interacting with that many different personalities and relationships is draining, because people often say, oh, you know, you start late, you finish early, you have all the holidays. But actually, when you think about it, you know how, say you have one child or two children, you can know how demanding it is. So
yes,
the physical and emotional and the mental aspects of teaching that sometimes people don't realize, because you're having to relate to so many people.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that, so that is demanding enough. But when life gives you circumstances that add to the pressure of the job. So, for example, in my case, early on in my career, I'd suffered a multiple bereavement. Three of my family were killed in a fire. And then that's also playing in the background. So you've got this demanding job. Life has thrown you this issue and you're having to manage that. And then later on in life, when I was on this period of thinking I want more, you know, I have one sister now, she was abroad and my mum was really ill, and having to be a carer and balance full-time work, all very pressured. But the thing was, I did love teaching and I did enjoy it. So it just became more clear to me. One of the reasons I happened to have a career for over 30 years in teaching was I learned how to manage the pressures And I saw so many colleagues, you know, there's huge numbers of teachers left the profession within the first 5 years.
Okay. So, and mainly for those reasons that it was, they were just not managing to balance their lives with teaching. And I mean, to be honest, I've often thought that, I mean, my mother's a teacher and she was head of a school, and she always said to me, but Julie, you know, you love helping people and you know your languages, you know, become a teacher. And I was thinking, but I would never dare. I was thinking, first of all, the fact that, of course, at school, you're also teaching people or young people who might not have chosen to do it. You know, like she used to teach, you know, adolescents, say, around 15 or whatsoever. Now, I know from having been a revolting adolescent myself, how I gave my teachers in certain topics a really hard time. And I'm thinking, gosh, the commitment you must have this. And I used to say to my mother, how do you do it? How do you selflessly prepare for hours and try to make it interesting, etc.? And then maybe out of the 30, and she said, well, if only one, if I only spark that love for where she was English language and literature, if only just in one a spark, then I'm satisfied. And I said, how selfless, how beautiful. So that must also come into the equation. You know, the idea that you're in a way sometimes rowing against the tide, depending the age of the children that you're teaching.
Yeah, even though I taught younger children up to 11, from 4 to 11 at different stages, some children, school doesn't suit some children. Right. They, yeah. You know, different personalities. That's the thing. When I said about the 30, you think 30 unique personalities. Sure. Just in a class, there'll be some children who love subjects, love being at school, love the socializing. You will have some children who are loners. They prefer to be on their own. They prefer to do their own study. You know, some children are interested in certain subjects. Yeah. Everyone's unique. So school is like a
microcosm, yeah? Right? It's the whole world in little, really.
Yeah. And it doesn't suit everybody. So it's finding that way of embracing the differences, the diversity, right, and helping them on their way. Because, of course, education is compulsory, so they have to be there.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's connecting with them in ways that spark their interest or give them that sense of ownership in really when they have very little.
Yeah, exactly. And especially you were saying, I mean, the school in particular where you was for children also, or still is for children who are very deprived. I mean, they might not even be used to anybody caring about, you know, how they feel or making them feel valued, or that, you know, some things that they might be good at helping them to shine. So I can imagine that it's not just a job. It's your whole heart, which is also out there every day. So you were saying, so during the first 5 years, the majority of teachers then
a good percentage.
So you decided you wanted to do something different than just teaching students, right? Then so then you were starting to look at people like you, as in who were not managing to balance.
Yeah, so when I was going through, let me backtrack a bit. Let's go. So in my career, as I've always very early on, actually, being asked to mentor new teachers. So mentoring new teachers, that developed into actually becoming their tutor for people who have to do their induction year. They have to do this year where they have to have lesson observations and pass. So I would mentor them and actually be their tutor. I'd have to watch their lessons and give it a report on them. So I worked over my career, I've worked with about 30 young teachers. Wow. In their first, that induction year. And also, when I was an assistant head in the school, I had the opportunity to mentor and coach emerging leaders, teachers who were becoming team leaders, right, or they were leading a curriculum area, that developing as leaders. So I increasingly used coaching as part of that mentoring, right, process. And so I had an interest in it. And in terms of education, I had gone on courses and I really liked it. But when I was getting to this stage where I was feeling like I didn't want to teach anymore, I wanted something different, I actually connected with a coach, a life coach.
To help you find your way.
Right. Yeah. I was at that stage. I don't know what to do. You know, I wanted change, but I didn't know what I wanted. Anyway, the whole process for me was brilliant. Within a first, you know, few sessions with her, she brought clarity, which is what, you know, helped me to see that the way I was handling all the additional responsibilities with my mother's care, and that I wasn't balancing my own self-care.
Yes. That. You were coming last, I imagine. I mean,
Yeah, just, and that's what was making me frustrated. That was what was making me unhappy, because I wasn't giving myself time for my own interests, for doing the things I wanted, because, you know, full-time working and then having to care for someone who's not well and all that entailed, you get squeezed out.
Yes.
So that brought the whole process, and I was thinking of other teachers. So I suppose in a roundabout way, going through that process myself, I wanted then to help other teachers.
You wanted to be able to give that to others and teachers in particular, right? So that's what your change of course has become. So you now coach teachers?
That's right. So the business is coaching teachers either one-to-one or group coaching. And I'm actually at the moment working for a school. So it's two different areas. I coach teachers in career transitions. So that could be they're coming back to teaching after maternity.
Ah, right.
Or like me, they're older and they want to leave teaching. So that there's the transition. Or the group that I really love working is the emerging leaders. I have a particular heart for the emerging leaders. And so it's three areas. It's because I've been in all three phases.
Yes.
And I want to help teachers in those different areas of career transition.
And of course, so now, I mean, this is, you're running your own show. So you're in charge of the timetable of how many hours you work, depending on what other demands on you around. And so you have now made a point of tailoring in me time for whatever that might mean.
Absolutely. I've learned it's not always easy, especially I left full-time or teaching in December 2019.
That's not that long ago, right?
And then obviously COVID happened.
Of course.
Which changed plans that I had. So it's been in, you know, sort of changing, making this kind of big change in the midst of a pandemic. It just refocuses for me. Obviously self-care, but also the fact that, you know, this whole situation that we're all in is, if you're not going to do what pleases you or you really want to do now, well then when?
Yes.
So that has been, so in the difficult times, that has been something that has kept me.
And you have, you did you have any moments where you thought, oh gosh, why did I do this?
Absolutely. But not in the way that made me think I've made the wrong choice.
Right. Just realizing that it's difficult and that you have to make a lot of decisions yourself, right? It's, you have to think exactly how and what you want to do.
Well, I suppose I was confident in my experience and expertise,
right, obviously,
in education.
Yeah.
And I was confident in terms of the coaching because of the training I'd had and the fact that I'd already used coaching. So that aspect of it, I was very secure in. It was the business. I think I made business a bit of a specter, a bit of a
right. I don't know business, you know.
This is, you know, the little girl in this, and it's something when I've realized, you know, so many times now, skills are so transferable. Yes, you have to learn, and you have to have mentors, and you have to read, and you have to learn. It's a new area, but I had made it a little bit something more than it needed to be because my business is quite simple.
Yes. But I think, you know, it sounds terrible, but I think as women, we have a tendency to do that. I mean, in previous podcasts, we haven't mentioned so much the business aspect, but finance, or yesterday I was talking to somebody about technology, where we sort of automatically assume that we're not going to know how to do it, that that's not for us, you know, that we need to limit ourselves to the rest. And as you say, a specter is the word you use, you know, you make it into this big monster, whereas most of the time it's common sense, you know, when you sit down, and we all have common sense, we manage our households or our own budgets or whatever it is. So that transferable idea is actually a very good way of looking at it, is that often those skills, we already have them in a different domain. It's not called running a business. It's called running a family or running, you know, somebody else's family that you're looking after, or, you know, that sort of thing. So that was one of the things that for you was an eye-opener. So this idea that you weren't having to learn everything. You were learning how to do it in a different way, but the skills were mostly already.
Yeah, in terms of organization, time management, those, you know, strategic thinking, those are some of my strong points. I am, you know, I love to see the whole picture and then break it down into achievable goals. But of course, when I first sought some help, I was getting information that it kind of confused me really in terms of what I was expected to do, you know, posting on social media all the time. And there were certain things, that was just one example, certain things that weren't me. And so what I've learned in the process is to stay true to who I am and to know the kind of, to define the kind of business I want and then go with that. So, yeah, so my strengths were there. Tech was definitely a weakness. So I made myself learn so much. I did, you know, it was naturally not something I wanted to do. But now I'm in a position where I can manage my own website. I can do things that, you know, I mean, I can't code, but I can make simple changes. I can create landing pages. I can, there's so much.
You probably a few years ago would never have imagined you could do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's just sitting down and it's getting through. Have you ever heard the expression, eat the frog?
Yes.
So that was definitely a frog.
But I mean, this is excellent what you're saying, because I think these are the things which hold us back. You know, when I was saying, okay, it's hard to change, but 50 plus, especially if you've got the sort of job that you had, as in a very stable, to actually make that choice. So I'm hearing you say many things. One is, if you're feeling dissatisfied or you know that there's something more, even if it's in the same area, if not now, when? I mean, I think that's a very interesting, you know, topic to have, you know. If you know, do you want to lie on your deathbed thinking, if only I tried something else? Or do you want to say, okay, the journey wasn't perhaps always smooth, but gosh, did I learn? And did I then do something, you know, which really gave me full satisfaction? There's also the idea of the transferability of skills is to not think that none of that is totally outside us, but that there's probably a base that we can use, you know, from a different area, and the rest we can learn it. You've learned how to do your website. I've learned how to do my podcast. I never imagined I would actually edit it and do all the rest around it, but I do. And it's such a great feeling, especially if it's not your comfort zone. When I've suddenly got it ready and I can post it, I feel proud of having learned that at this age. So I'm hearing a lot of strong motivational things which took you outside, that helped push you outside of this comfort zone, plus also the idea that you wanted to be more in charge maybe of your life and of managing, you know, full-time already busy with your career. What other tip would you have to encourage people who are thinking of making a change?
So definitely thinking about how you view yourself, valuing your own identity, valuing your strengths and your abilities, and not comparing to others, and not try to compete with others. I touched on this in terms of defining the business for me. So I think, you know, it's like we are enough, and you know, it's that we, I've said a few times about the uniqueness of people and the uniqueness of ourselves, and knowing our skills, our experience is enough. And I think it's celebrating that.
How do you find that though? I mean, I think I know quite a few people who've been so caught up in either their corporate lives or even maybe their family lives to still not be completely clear about who they are, what they need to feel fulfilled, what they need to be doing to know that they're on track. I mean, are these things you were always crystal clear on, or are these things that your coach also helped you clarify?
So I think through the coaching process, I have learned to value and define vision, to really have an idea of what you want and where you want to be. And I think it's so, for example, for a lot of my career, I just carried on.
Yes.
You know, it was just what you
did. You don't ask any question. You just go.
It was only when that dissatisfaction started that I started to think, well, what is that? What is it that, why am I unhappy? What is it that I want? And I realized that, you know, I am a lifelong learner. It's a phrase, but I love learning. I am supportive. I'm a nurturing person. I like to support and nurture. So in terms of the younger children and younger colleagues, and I don't know if that's because I don't have children myself. So it's having that vision. I kind of forgot the question a little bit.
Yeah, don't worry. I forget that happens to me all the time. That's one of the things which is... No, exactly. We were talking about how we define ourselves, how we know who we are. Yeah. And I mean, I think in some ways, obviously, that is also the advantage of 50 plus, is that most of us have a bit of a clearer idea and are maybe a little bit less concerned with being the person other people want us to be. Mm. If we're not sure what we want, I think we've got a bit of a clearer idea already on what we don't want. Mm. You know, so even if we haven't managed to formulate yet, okay, this is the way, the path I need to be traveling, knowing that, you know, after 50, you know, we've still got very many different routes that we might take towards the same destination. I mean, it's not just a one life change. It's just getting into that mindset, as you say, of knowing who you are. And even you triggered something in me when you talked about, you know, social media before. That's something that I've also been terrible at. I used to call it digital prostitution because I run a coaching and editing company as well. However, I notice that my podcast, I have absolutely no problem in sharing it all over the place because I have the feeling that it's not me. I'm also highlighting what you were doing. So it's also thinking, well, yes, nowadays you do need, if you want to attract clients, you do need to be visible. And nowadays, visibility is mostly online. Yes, who you know, and obviously you're in a school system where they've known you over all this long career that you've got. But otherwise, for most of us, we do need to be seen if we want people to find us. And we go from the principle that we're all unique and we all have a unique contribution to make. So it's not about being arrogant and plastering ourselves all over the place. It means if we want to help people, they've got to know where to find us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So the thing as well as thinking about vision, it's also about spending some time actually thinking about your personality and what you actually like. And, you know, so for me, this is lovely because we're talking and we're interacting and there's that relationship, you know, and listening to each other. I like that. Rather than writing a post, how can I put it? I need to know who I'm connecting with. I know people say, oh, when you're doing social media, you know, think of one person and write to them. Well, I find that kind of hard. Right. So it's almost like I can see why you love podcasting. Now, this is my first venture into this, but already it's beautiful because we can interact and it's in real time. And just our conversation is going to help somebody who listens to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that is when you said about, you know, how did you find your identity in that sense? Part of it was the coaching process. And so that is what I do, vision creating with each group that I coach.
Right.
It gets back to this, get back to their identity, you know, their personality type, recognizing their own skills. Yeah. And a lovely activity that I like, I call it Magnificent Me, and it's a coaching technique and many people would have used it, but I get people to just start writing down and think a minimum of 100 things about themselves that they've achieved.
Wow. I think that's very confrontational to lots of people, right?
Yeah. But, and they're like, what? 100? And so I start with one. Okay. Yeah. 5, 10, 20. Yeah. And once they get into it, it can go on for pages because I'm saying any achievement.
Yes. A cake that you've made or that you know, managed to repair your, I don't know, pencil sharpener. I mean, it can be absolutely as silly as anything. Yeah.
Anything you did, a colouring competition you won as a child, you learned to swim, you learned to drive.
And we're not used to that, are we? We're not used to thinking of it in that way. And I think the beauty of coaching as well. You know, I mean, I remember when I started learning in 2009, you know, it was still quite new then and people were like, well, what do you need a coach for? You know, you're not a trained psychiatrist or something. But it's just that, first of all, most of us don't, it's not me, but if we say we want to help and contribute to other people, and when I look at the world, happy people help others, miserable people don't. So, I mean, our first priority is towards us, towards, you know, living a life where we're feeling fulfilled, where we feel that we know our mission and all of that. And most of us don't ask ourselves the right questions. And then often we need somebody from the outside to just literally create that space to think about us. We're also from a generation. My mum's even one further, where she sometimes listens to the podcast. She says, you know, you all seem to be talking a lot about yourselves. And, you know, in my generation, you know, we didn't ask ourselves all these questions. You know, we just, she said, I get a huge amount of pleasure and satisfaction out of being there for others, etc. And it is true. We're at a phase where we're saying, well, you know, what actually do I need to be happy? Not what do I need to do for somebody else, for him or her to be happy. And so it is coaching enables you to have that sort of neutral look from the outside. Because even our friends and our sisters, you know, people say, oh, well, it's a bit like talking to your sister or to your friend. I'm saying no, because they already have preconceived ideas of who you are, what you can or can't do. And there we're really saying, okay, you know, what do you like? What did you like as a child, etc. And I think that's very liberating. And we owe it to ourselves to be the best person we can be so that we can be there for other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that yeah, so those three things, I think, thinking about how we are, you know, our beliefs about ourselves.
Yes.
Understanding that we may not know this, but we know this, this, and this, you know.
Yes. We can learn something new. You know, we haven't become brain dead because we've passed 50 plus, that, you know, you can use the skills in one area to learn something new. And we don't need to know all the answers from the beginning. To start a business, you don't need to know right out how to do your taxes, how to do your bills, you learn that like everybody else learned one day. You know, nobody just drops down to planet Earth knowing exactly how to do everything in a business. And as you're saying also, we make it our own. So if hardcore social media is not your thing, then you define yourself by being visible in a different way. And that's staying true to yourself, but it's still enabling others to find you. You had a point about support and preparation as well, didn't you? Is this, do you mean sort of before you actually make the pivotal change?
If we're talking about really making a big change, then preparation is important. So way before I left teaching, I'd had been coaching in terms of education, which is a different kind of coaching.
Right.
Actually did a life coaching course. Then I got accredited in that.
Yes.
Before I left. So that kind of preparation.
You didn't just throw everything out the window without having your plan ready.
Absolutely. And I wanted also, you know, because coaching is a kind of, in many areas, an unregulated business. Coming from my background in education, I wanted to have the accreditation. I wanted to have that credibility for myself because I didn't want to offer somebody something that... I wanted a certain standard.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm very grateful to hear that, because I think that has been one of the big problems with coaching is that, I mean, that's one of the reasons why actually most of my business is now editing and translating, because we got to the phase where, especially in my expat partner world, you know, every second woman called herself a coach. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I studied 2 years for this and then I did an NLP accreditation as well. It's not the same thing as just wanting to help. You know, I think the two got a little bit confused after a while. And that thankfully, I mean, I think they are trying to find ways to regulate the business, because there is a difference. Like all skills, being well-meaning isn't always enough. You need to acquire tools and you need to pass standards in order to qualify.
Yeah. So preparation, I feel, is important before any transition. You know, it's not just jumping. I know some people say that overnight they do things, but yes, you can do that. But also being prepared, you know, like if you've been in a situation for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, you're in your 50s now, expecting to change immediately, probably might work for some people, but I think there's wisdom in actually thinking
and actually preparing. And also it is a stage of insecurity. I mean, we don't want to be left, you know, especially for people who maybe don't have a partner or something, you know, you don't want to be left completely dry at 50 something and then not find another job and not have, I don't know, a pension or some sort of security pot to ensure later. Of course, there is the risk of the other side. I think I know lots of people who maybe overthink and over-prepare and it's never 100% ready, you know, who also hide behind the, well, I'm almost there, but I'm thinking, well, you know, at some point, I think it's Des Brown who says, you know, at some point you have to jump and grow your wings on the way down. That doesn't mean that you throw yourself out in the unknown in the middle of a huge storm or something. It means that, you know, an educated preparation, and then we just do it because it's the right thing to do.
And the other thing I said was about support. So find support, whether that's in family, whether that's in something, an association.
Right.
So I'm accredited with a body that there is support there. Yeah. Keeping in contact with people for example, the people I trained with in coaching, we're a little WhatsApp group.
Yes.
Now, over time, it's not as intense, but if ever we post in our group, there's always a response.
I think that's a very good point, because it can be scary. And the thing is that we often come across people maybe close to us who are very well-meaning and hold you back because they don't want you to get hurt or they don't want you to fail. And I think at the same time, you need that safe support group of people who are in your world or who have done it too, and who can be there to say, okay, you know, you're not alone.
And I think what you said there, in your world, is important, because your family won't, you know, you're going into a new world, as it were. And family and friends, they haven't got the framework.
And some of them find it actually quite threatening. They're not sure if you're going to change. They're not sure if you're going to be the same person that they know. So it's well-meaning, and that's what I meant by well-meaning. But sometimes it actually holds us back a lot more than the support that we get from that world that we're entering. Yeah. But Jeannie, thank you very much for this. I see the time. I have no idea how we've already got to this time. So thank you very much. I'm very grateful for you for having shared, you know, the practical tips, but also your warmth and your passion, obviously, for what you do and for the young leaders for tomorrow, especially in the world of education, because, I mean, that's, as parents, what more do we want than we dream of committed teachers who love what they do and who find joy in sharing that with our children, however revolting they may be at times. Thank you very much. Good luck with your endeavor. And just thank you very much for having shared.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. And it's been lovely.
Thank you. For the rest of you out there, if you've got that feeling of dissatisfaction and you think, well, you know, this is all great and I've done it for a while, and the feeling that there is something more out there, really think about Regina's, what she shared with us today about why we do it, and that, you know, if it's not now, when else? The preparing, the getting the support group, the, you know, the whole approach of a mindset of that, yes, you can, and that actually you know more than you think, and that skills you have in one area you can use in another, and those that you don't have, you know what, you can learn them. And about that authenticity, about really making time and maybe investing in yourself and finding out, you know, who am I, what do I stand for, what is it that I want to leave behind? What are the important values and beliefs that I need to have for me in my world? And thrive, you know, 50 plus, we can start again. No problem. Thank you for listening and see you all next week. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.